Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, welcome Caregiver Nation. Happy New Year, everybody. It's our first show back in 2018. Sure glad to be here. It's Jill Lorenz here. And I think we ought to start by talking about the end of 2017. We all know holidays are a time of discovery and enlightenment when we come home for the holidays or get together with family and friends and discover that someone we love has some cognitive impairment, their thinking process is not working well, memory loss, all types of different things like that will happen. If your family members have had a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Lewy body, hippocampal sclerosis, any of that, you know, we can kind of encompass all that into the conversation today. But I got a lot of questions from my listeners and followers that I call Caregiver Nation. And so I thought we'd just start with that, wrap up 2017 and move on to 2018, okay? So some of the questions I received, and I received a lot of them about wandering issues. My mom, my grandma, my dad, whoever it is wandering around. They're getting lost. A few complaints about the safe return bracelets being very vague. They are not etched well. You can barely read the information, even if you have reader's glasses. So, folks, if you're having trouble with that, go to your local Walgreens, or I hate to even say this, but a PetSmart. They have wonderful little tags that you can get that look like flowers, all kinds of things, happy faces, and just etch in your loved one's information on that, where they live, their name, their date of birth, maybe even a contact number, not just their home phone, but a number of a loved one that could respond if they were lost and they were trying to call somebody. Doesn't do any good if they live by themselves and the phone number they have on there is their own, because nobody's going to be home if they wander away, right? So let's think this through, folks, okay? So some of the reasons why people wander. Sometimes they are just flat bored, not enough stimulation. They're not doing enough things in their home. They're living by themselves, or they have someone that is there with them, maybe a family member, but they're off in another part of the house doing some work down in a desk and office situation and just not really paying attention. They also will wander because they have to go to the bathroom. They will wander because they are thirsty and maybe they don't recognize places in their homes. So they go for a walk outside, and this is not good. We cannot rely on the local police department and sheriff's department to be able to track these people if they wander away. So families, please, we've got to be responsible for them. What I would suggest is that you take current pictures at least once a month as they change with the progression of the disease, and make sure you have a picture that looks like them, an up close picture, so that you have that in your home. Something else occurred to me. If you live in a place that has Colorado Life Track or Project Lifesaver or whatever they call it, the bracelets that have batteries that need to be changed once a month that can omit a radio signal, and you are registered with your local police or sheriff's department. In the Denver metro area, we have several entities in the counties that and cities that facilitate this program. Again, we call it Colorado Life Track, or some places call it Project Lifesaver. But they can find the person if you keep those batteries updated monthly. But if they expire, you're on your own. So we've got to be diligent about taking care of people. But I had a family that contacted me and said they live in Denver, and Denver does not supply it. I'm sorry to tell you, but the Denver PD, for whatever reason, and they probably have a good one, does not facilitate this program in Denver. The outer cities and counties do, but they do not. So I came up with an idea for this family. The tile, Bluetooth tiles that you can buy now, they're about an inch by an inch by an inch, they might work. They have a little hole in them, so you can put them on a keychain. You could put them on a bracelet. You can put them on a necklace. This particular family had tried that. It did not work. So I suggested and worked with my local seamstress, Erica Earle. Shout out to you, my friend. And she sewed a piece of material on three sides on the back of the waistband of the woman who needed this tracking device. And put a snap on it so we could slide that little tile in. You can purchase these things for about $20. I think you can even buy them in four packs. They have to be paired to a Bluetooth phone, but it's not a perfect scenario, but it could work. And we're going to try with this lady that a son-in-law will be the person who will have the Bluetooth technology application on his phone. And all it really does, it was designed to help people who lose their keys and their credit cards and their wallets, so you could keep the second tile in or the Bluetooth pairing. And keep that tile in a wallet or something or on a keychain, but we're going to try it on a human. And no, Dawn, for the person who asked me this, we cannot chip people. We don't do that yet. So I'm sorry about that, but we just can't do it. So another option that you could employ if somebody is living alone is home care. Have a home care company come in for 3 to 4, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it takes, hours a day, come several times a week. They can take that person for a walk. They can take them out on activities. They can take them for coffee, lunch, dinner, take them to the grocery store, work puzzles with them. They can do various activities. And I have a list of 50 ideas I'm going to be putting on my website here in January of different activities that you can use with a person maybe that's coming in for your home. They can also clean, they can cook, they can do a various amount of things. Don't let that person wander away and get lost. There's nothing like the tragedy and trauma of a family who can't find a loved one and you have no way to track them. So another question that I had was, hey, how do I talk to my kids about their grandparent having loved ones? Well, depending on how old that child is, if they are over the age of 4 or 5, give them credit for growing maturity and their brain as they are growing up. Kids have a lot of empathy and love for grandparents. And just let them know that grandma or grandpa has trouble remembering things, and let's be patient with them. If they want to play games with them, play cards with them, where they maybe they're playing war or maybe they're just doing go fish, they could separate cards out into colors or suits or something like that. Keep the activity simple. Maybe the child, if they can read at 9 years old, could read a story to grandma or grandpa. But talk to your kids about it and be open and honest with them. They will accept that. They will embrace it and they will love that person because it's their grandma or grandpa. So let's give them a little bit more credit for having some compassion and empathy than maybe we think they have. Okay. And last but not least, the Christmas holiday, New Year's holiday brings about a lot of depression. And let's keep our hearts open. Let's keep our phones open. Check in on people who seem really, really down. I hate to tell you folks, but one of my friends committed suicide over the holidays, and it's been heartbreaking for me. I have no illusions I could have done something, but I wish maybe I would have communicated a little more or looked for more signs. So leave those lines open. PTSD for veterans, police, fire, EMTs, is a real thing, and we want to make sure we're there for the people that we love. If they're not showing up for events that you have, maybe they've missed a few things and didn't call anybody, they're not keeping their appointments, they seem down every time you talk to them, make an extra effort to go and be with that person and show them some love, okay? So when we come back, we're going to talk about statistics about Alzheimer's in Colorado and overall, and I think what I'm about to tell you is going to shock some of you. So we're going to listen to a word from my sponsor, Bellevue Heights. Love Bellevue Heights and thank them very much for sponsoring my show for the last year and coming on again this year. We'll be right back after a word from them.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back, and I, as promised, I'm going to talk about some statistics. We're always a little bit behind, friends, and I'm really sorry about that. So the statistics, that's a hard word to say, that I pulled are from 2016, okay? And I know we're in 2018 now, but they're just a year old here. But this might blow your mind. 15.9 million family and friends provided 18.2 billion hours of unpaid assistance to those with Alzheimer's and other dementias. And that contributed to the nation valued at $230 billion. Wow. Now, approximately two-thirds of those caregivers are women. And those women are about 34% of them are 65 or older. So our aging population is taking care of our aging population. Not good, not good. And another statistic that kind of surprised me a little bit, 41% of caregivers have a household income of $50,000 or less. And with the rising costs of financial burden, and I'm just going to say it that way, financial burden of caring for a person that is ill, especially with a degenerative brain disease, can be costly. And if you're making $50,000 a year, that's a good income, don't get me wrong, but you're going to have things like grab bars you're going to have to put in the house. You might have to put locks on the house for your wandering issues. You might need bells. You might need alarms. There's a lot of things that you might need. Now, approximately one quarter, that's a fourth, all right, of dementia caregivers are the sandwich generation caregivers, meaning that they're not only caring for an aging parent, but also for children under the age of 18. Wow, that's a lot of stress on our parents out there who are trying to work well with their teenagers who are still growing and maturing, and their brains are still growing and maturing. And these are tough, tough things. This takes a devastating toll on our caregiver nation. I mean, I really feel for you people out there. And compared with caregivers of all people without dementia, twice as many caregivers of those with dementia indicate substantial emotional, financial, and physical difficulties. That is why I talked about depression in the first segment. It's a real issue. It's sad when you see your loved one struggling with their memory, struggling with their cognitive ability. And it really has startling numbers. 89%. There was an 89% increase in deaths due to Alzheimer's disease between 2000 and 2014. And now it's nearly doubled since then. And this might surprise you, but people with heart disease, the leading cause of death has declined. It's declined. So we know Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and it's a fifth leading cause of death among those age 65 and older, and a leading cause of death of a disability and poor health. So as we age, this is going to become a lot harder. And this might surprise you folks, but it's the only top 10 cause of death the only top 10 cause of death that cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed. Did you hear what I said? Cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed. That is a big deal because we've got an Alzheimer's Research Center at the University of Colorado Hospital who needs our help. And they are out there. Dr. Huntington Potter and his crew at University of Colorado Hospital are working very, very hard to try to come up with a cure. They're making great strides in the way that we work with people with dementia and their families. And I'm really happy because they're going to have me start doing training classes for caregivers and their families in the Movements Disorders Clinic, which works with Lewy body and Parkinson's, starting in February. And I'm super excited to be working with Dr. Benzie Kluger. But people, they need your help. If these statistics don't rattle you, they should. Because I'm telling you, this is getting really, really catastrophic. The cost of health care and long-term care for individuals with Alzheimer's and other dementias is the costliest condition in our society. I don't know if people realize that. Total payments in 2017 for all individuals with Alzheimer's and other dementias estimated $259 billion. Medicare and Medicaid are expected to cover $175 billion or 67%, but they're not going to cover everything. And out-of-pocket spending is expected to be $56 billion from my caregiver nation out there. Those are scary numbers. Families can't afford that. They cannot afford that. And I've had, again, Dr. Huntington Potter on my show, who has talked about, we appreciate the pharmaceutical companies out there trying to come up with drugs that help. But the truth of the matter is their efficacy is extremely limited, less than 30 to 60 days. And families pay for these drugs for years and years, costing them thousands and thousands of dollars. And truth of the matter is they don't do much good. And I'm sorry about that. But the fact of the matter is, of the 191 drugs that came through the pharmaceuticals, only three made it through: Exelon, Namenda, and Aricept. And they do nothing to slow the progression of the disease. Nothing. So this is a scary situation, and we all need to get on board. We need to start raising money. We need to help our University of Colorado Hospital Alzheimer's Research and Memories Disorders Unit, and really start getting involved in this. Because if we don't, I'm going to tell you, folks, Medicare and Medicaid is not going to cover things. And as our government keeps dropping the amount of money that they're going to pay for Medicaid, we're going to be in trouble. And the cost of care communities is roughly anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000 per month. If you are expecting your Social Security to cover that, you're going to be in trouble. So in some cases, the only thing that we can do is work with local home care companies, try and make sure that they have training for their Alzheimer's folks. I happen to work with Home Instead. I know that Gold Leaf Caregivers also works with their caregivers to train them in Alzheimer's training. And there are some other really good ones out there. I think the home care companies are really, really trying to come to the forefront and be a part of this. But the projected increase from that $259 billion I told you in 2017 is going to go to more than $1.1 trillion in 2050. And this dramatic rise includes more than a fourfold increase in both government spending under Medicare and Medicaid and in out-of-pocket spending. So be concerned about that, folks. I'm telling you. So when we come back from our break, I want to read you a special report, Alzheimer's Disease, the Next Frontier, that I pulled up here recently. And it's really good news, and it's surprising about the way that they're going to start diagnosing different types of dementias, especially Alzheimer's, Lewy body, Parkinson's disease, and the biomarkers and the biological changes in the brain that they're tracking now to try to be more exact in what they are diagnosing so that they have clearer paths in the scientific world to try to find better solutions for ways to combat this disease. And boy, do we ever need that. So I'm going to make that a priority in the second half. And again, just remind my listeners, what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? And see if I can't make you a little bit more informed and educated on these subjects. So we're going to take a word from our sponsor here in just a minute, and I'll be right back to talk to you about the development and validation of Alzheimer's disease biomarkers, okay?
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so I was talking about statistics in the last few minutes. I'll finish this up by talking about Colorado statistics before I go on to that new frontier here. So here's the 2016 numbers. That's the best I could do of caregivers here in Colorado. So the number of my caregiver nation in Colorado of caregivers was 244,000 people. 244,000 people caring for their loved one with dementia. This is just with Alzheimer's, okay? Total hours, unpaid care, total hours, if we qualified the work that these families do for their loved ones, was $277 million. And the total value of that unpaid care, if we'd have had a professional do it, is $3,510 million. Wow. And the higher health cost of those caregivers being sick and wearing themselves down while they're trying to take care of their loved ones with this memory loss and cognitive impairment was $146 million. This is just Colorado. And there was a 92% increase in Alzheimer's death just since the year 2000. So those were the statistics I pulled up. Now, this is called a special report. The Alzheimer's disease, the next frontier, what are we doing here in Colorado? So what we're trying to do is make the decision that our assumptions and definitions of the disease are no longer consistent with scientific evidence. What that means is just because somebody has memory loss, we're no longer just going to stamp it as dementia and send them on their way home. Okay, not going to happen anymore. The arc of scientific progress is now requiring a change in the way we diagnose Alzheimer's disease. So both the National Institute on Aging and the Alzheimer's Association have a work group, and an international work group, IWG, have proposed guidelines that use detectable measures of biological changes in the brain, commonly known as biological markers or biomarkers, as part of a diagnosis. Why is this important, folks? Let me give it to you in plain English. They want to be able to check someone's blood. They want to check your spinal fluid. They want to check a lot of different areas of your characteristics of your disease. For example, I'll use Lewy body. We now know that people with Lewy body have disrupted sleep in a violent pattern. They are diving out of bed. They're hitting their loved ones, but it's severe for them. They also have dramatic hallucinations, which people with Alzheimer's don't have. So we're being able to find some different biomarkers in the brain that show maybe a tau protein as opposed to a beta amyloid protein, which we know beta amyloid is what causes Alzheimer's. I try to educate my folks on this, but that's what causes Alzheimer's. So we're trying to work with that and find those different markers that actually really help someone to understand what that diagnosis is and why it is important to know what we're dealing with. Is it frontal temporal? Is it Parkinson's disease? Parkinson's disease is a lack of dopamine in the brain. And so now that we know that, we can look at that more clearly and say, okay, this is Parkinson's. It's not Alzheimer's. It's not Lewy body. So these different biomarkers may not make a huge difference in trying to solve the diseases, but it definitely makes a difference in the way that we are working with them, that we are treating them, and that we are trying to inform our families in the best strategies and techniques to work with our loved ones. Okay? So I think that's really cool. I really want them to think of those in the same category as other chronic diseases, such as diabetes or heart, cardiovascular disease or things like that, so that we can treat them before they're irrevocably disabling our loved ones. You know, wouldn't it be cool if we could get the different dementias to that form? We're not there yet. But what I'm telling you is these labs are working in that direction right now. And as long as they get closer to that, we're going to be okay. But we can't just keep having our head in the sands. You know what I mean? So I get listeners that tell me every so often that I should go back and talk about what is Alzheimer's and what is dementia. So I'm going to do that briefly here. Dementia itself is just a definition. It simply means cognitive impairment, serious enough to affect activities of daily living. That's it. There are lots of different types of dementia that do not come with memory loss. Alzheimer's is a disease under the umbrella of dementia. There are lots of others. There is Parkinson's disease. There is Lewy body. There is frontal temporal. There is ALS. There is Korsakoff's. There's Wernicke's. There's vascular that we know as strokes. And some of these do not come with memory loss. So people, please listen close. Dementia does not mean memory loss. It simply means your thought process isn't working and it's serious enough to affect your activities of daily living. And it is not a disease. It is just a definition. There are diseases under it. Of those diseases under it, we think Alzheimer's is the number one type. I've heard that Parkinson's is number two. Lewy body, vascular dementia are, you know, behind them as they go. As we know it, the diseases under dementia, there is no cure at this time. Again, let that resonate for a minute and then get involved. Start helping out our local Alzheimer's Research Center. Send in your dollars to the Alzheimer's Association. Call me at Summit Resilience Training. What I do is I provide classes for families at under Summit Resilience Training banner. And I also do it for professionals and I teach strategies and techniques. I teach people about the brain. I give you a virtual dementia tour. I teach you how to share the care so you're not doing it alone, not getting depressed, and have some activity ideas and ways to work with your loved one, how to keep them safe in your home, things like that. Okay. And I also do in-home assessments where I can come in and evaluate your loved one after they've had a diagnosis. I have a medical disclaimer. I am not medical and I do not have a medical license in any way, but I do understand the diseases and I work closely with families on what I can help to change. And that is their communication skills and the way they work with their loved ones. So I hope that this has been an informative show for you today. I just wanted to start 2018 off by wrapping it up with some statistics and talking about some of the questions I received over the holiday of Christmas and New Year's. And I hope everybody really has just a wonderful 2018. Let's make it our purpose in 2018 to help Caregiver Nation out there, offer some assistance, come by, help out with their loved one for a couple hours, give them a break. Notice when they're feeling depressed. Try to lift their spirits for them a little bit. And let's do the best we can to work together so that we can find a way to have better communication skills with this disease and all different types of dementia. So I love you out there in Caregiver Nation. Next week, I'm going to involve my technician here, April, in a conversation, and we're going to kick around some activities for some fun ways that people can enjoy time with their loved ones. Okay, we'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.